specialized helicopters at the Watsonville Airport, where you can loop, roll, and spin in a scenic aerobatic airplane ride from 3,000 feet above the Monterey Bay. Mention KSEO and get a special buy two, get the third free on weekdays. Call Specialized Helicopter at 831-763-2224. Up next, Saturday Special with your host, Michael Zwirling. Good morning, MZ, or good evening.
Okay, I was going to say that's the first time I've been called Michael Zwirling in years.
This is this.
But
replays,
then you said MZ.
Yeah, this is this replays in the evening too. So what is it? Morning, evening? I don't know.
You could say good morning / evening.
I mostly listen to the show at nighttime. That's when I have a lot of time to listen to
you
the show.
You are the busiest dude in the world. No, you have become. I've been watching you very, very. I've been watching very carefully.
How you have gone from
from a person with lots of time on his hands to a person with no time on his hands.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do today? Be honest.
I am. Well, after I get out of here, I am going to pick up Mikey and start enjoying summer vacation.
So because school is out and Mikey graduated from sixth grade yesterday. Yeah. And I want to know how the dance went.
Oh, he went. He had a lot of fun. I actually, while he was doing that, I went over, I snuck over to Dave Allen's house and went and had a couple beers while Mikey was dancing. So he had fun, and we had fun. The two Daves had fun. Everybody had fun.
What kind of beers did you have?
I don't want to say because they're not paying money.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But, you know, Bruvado beer. Now, that is beer. You've had some of that,
no,
right?
No, now that's something I want to try. That's next on my list.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I can arrange that.
Last time I saw it, it was still under the old name.
Blanco Basura Beverage.
Yeah, they were selling it in my neighborhood, but I haven't tried it since.
Well, the name has been changed because Blanco Basura means white trash.
Right.
And it was a very, very popular brand.
Oh, I love it.
Under the white trash. It tasted really good. I mean, are you a beer connoisseur?
Oh, I love beer.
And I'm not, but I will drink beer, you know. Especially if I have an investment in it.
Oh, yeah. I'll drink that beer, beer, and that half beer over there. I don't care. I'll just start. I love beer.
And so I used the beer. The for all the years, the beer that I could stomach was Miller.
Ah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, when I had some of this beer, what started to be Blanco Basura and morphed into Bruvado. Isn't that a classier name?
Nice.
That beer is way better than Miller. Way, way, way better than Miller. In fact, speaking of beer,
Do you have some?
Well, I do. I think I have some in the car.
For me?
Yeah, but you got to drink it outside the the radio station.
And I got to pay money for it.
No, you don't have to pay money for it. No, Dave, you're part of the family here. But but you can't drink it inside the radio station. You know why?
Some technicality.
No, well, yeah. I mean, it's against FCC laws. We're not. Oh, excuse me. We're not allowed to get drunk on the air here.
Now,
that's another thing. You know, with all the new media, you know, and the internet and so forth, all of those people who do podcasts and stuff like that, they can say bleep and not get in trouble.
I know.
That's not fair. If they can say bleep and not get in trouble, we should be able to say bleep and not get in trouble.
Right, I think there might be a certain time of evening, like in the wee hours of the morning, that you might be able to do some of that. But overall, it's very frowned upon.
Are you allowed to say bleep at any time on the air?
I think between 12 midnight and 4 a.m., I think there's a time where they're more lenient with that kind of language.
I think that's true, but I still don't think you're allowed to say bleep.
I think there's a few things you just can't say.
Why do you think Larry David, you know, who became very, very, he was the co-owner with what's his name, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Seinfeld, of the Seinfeld, immensely popular Seinfeld show of the 80s and 90s. And they sold it. They both became like billionaires or half billionaires, I think, you know. And what's his name? Larry David was not ready for the rocking chair. He wanted to do some other crazy things, you know. And so he didn't go do it with regular broadcast where you're not allowed to say bleep. He went to HBO where you are allowed to say bleep. And doesn't that drive you crazy? Why does HBO that you pay for, right, get to say bleep? And they say because it's the airwaves, the public air. Well, guess what? The public airwaves, you know, are the satellite transmission frequencies, that you need to utilize for HBO and all the pay cable and pay satellite services, you know, to function.
Right.
So there's nothing different. If everybody should be able to say bleep, or nobody should be able to say bleep. It's not fair that us broadcasters should be discriminated against and not be allowed to say bleep. Do you agree?
It's absolutely
a bunch of bleep. It really is.
It is.
It really is. Now, we're going to have a very special Saturday special today. Very, very unusual.
Huh.
Do you know why?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Your light is flashing. Oh, that's because you're turning the mic on and off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, it's 11 past 10 in the morning, and we're going to start the program officially here by pressing this mouse button.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KFCO Radio.
And by the way, it's nice to see your smiling face there. How come you're there, not Rick? Oh, Rick is sick?
Rick is sick.
Oh, okay. don't need to laugh at Rick being sick. It's just the poetry. It's just the rhyme that we're using that's funny. Not the fact that Rick is sick. I want to make sure everybody understands that, okay? Because Rick is a good dude, and we don't take pleasure in hearing that he's sick.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
That is the controversial Crossfire music. That signals the beginning of a very, very, very controversial program. Oh my God. This is going to be a barn burner, this one on the Saturday special. Listen, if controversy bothers you, folks, change the station or, you know, go do something else or, you know, turn off the radio. You're not going to like the next 2 hours. All righty. Before I forget, it's a K day. We're going to do things a little differently. You know, Kay is here signing her books, autographing her and inscribing Kay's commentary books, which should be. It should be a New York Times bestseller, and maybe we can kick it up. Maybe we can elevate it to that status today if we sell enough of the books here. So we want you to come on down to 2300 Portola Drive and make a donation to the station, right? You can choose the donation to the station that you make, but we suggest a donation of $25 for Kay's book, for one. And a donation of $15 for if you want to get more books. They make great gifts. And you might as well start stashing your holiday gifts now. You don't have to wait that long. I don't want to give you that impression. They make great gifts any time of the year. Because Kay's commentary book is chock full of wisdom. You see, and she's here most of the Saturdays here to inscribe the books. But if you come on down today on this wonderful sunny Saturday morning, then you'll get to pick up your own copy of 4KSCO. I'm Kay Zwirling. I believe we have a new commentary, don't we, Dave? Oh, we don't. There's no new one today. There's an old one. Okay. All righty, fine. So I started to tell you that there is a speaking of beer, there is at the Monterey County Fairgrounds today, the annual Monterey County or Monterey Beer Fest. Okay. And I am so excited. I can't wait to get off the air. I mean, if I was,
are you heading out there?
I sure am.
Are you really? I was trying to speak with what's his name, the guy who's throwing it, because I had heard about that festival too. They're going to open a new line of beer over there that's being made by Frank Thomas, the old baseball player, and it's supposed to be a super heavy duty hitting beer, man, put you in the gutter. Two beers. That's where you'll be.
Well, I suppose we
can. Or in a fist fight.
I suppose we can try that out, but the main reason I'm going to go there is just to check out the
chicks.
How did you know?
I'm just guessing.
Okay. So anyhow, besides that, we're going to be checking out the Bruvado.
Oh, nice.
Bruvado Beverages is going to be there.
And you take that big old...
That giant $1.5 million, you know, customized bar.
Right.
It's the most impressive vehicle, you know, have ever seen. And I think I'm going to get to sit in it.
Wow. You're going to get to drive it?
No, I called Scott D. Gold. And he said this morning, and he said, I can't talk now. I'll call you later. I'm driving the big monster over there, you know, because it doesn't have hands-free inside the thing, presumably.
Well, give him
it has everything else.
Give him a couple shots, and he might let you drive it. That's what I would do if I was you.
All righty. So you're not going to go there?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I didn't plan on that, and I got the kids today, so no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it is going on today, and there's more than beer. There's gourmet food from lots of chefs, you know, and it does cost, as I understand it, it costs about $40 to get in. It's a $40 ticket. I don't know. It started out as a donation for some, you know, wonderful, you know, nonprofit or groups of nonprofits, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but whatever. It's apparently grown to be such a huge thing that it used to be held in a room at the Doubletree. And now it's held at the Monterey County Fairgrounds, which, you know, it's I guess that means thousands of people attend the thing.
Yeah, people love beer. They love beer.
And delicious, delicious food, right?
That too.
So anyhow, all righty. Hey, Kathy, how you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
I'm just listening to all of you talk about Rick and Kay's book, all these new interesting things.
Well, I guess they're sort of new to you because this is a crazy radio station. You've got quite a bit of background in radio yourself. I understand you've been doing a radio program for at least a dozen years, 13 is more like it, right, in Southern California on a heritage station called KFMB Radio. And you are a specialist in home remodeling and decorating, am I right?
That's true. I'm a certified master kitchen and bath designer, certified interior designer. My husband and I own and operate professional design and remodeling. And down in San Diego, we had a radio show with 760 KFMB over 13 years. Let's Talk Remodeling, the only remodeling show in all of Southern California. So
how did that happen? I mean, isn't that more of a TV conducive type thing than radio?
It is, and it isn't a cooking show, right? It is and it isn't. You know, there's two sides to remodeling. You know, there's the side where you physically need to use your eyeballs on television to watch something being done. You know, the before and the after, or the how to type of thing, and then there's the remodeling side of it where you need to get educated. And
right.
Or you call in. You know, ours was a huge call-in show. And my husband and I both did it. And if it was a do-it-yourself question or general construction question, he would answer. But if it came to kitchen and bath design, decorating, colors, paint, where to shop, what's the difference between granite and quartz, that type of thing, I would answer the question.
Uh-huh.
That was the type of show
and we speak about it in the past tense. It's a very popular show for many years, and it came to an end. Why?
The times got changed, and you know, it got to be where every weekend you were doing the show, and I just got tired.
Uh-huh.
Will I go back to it? Maybe.
Oh.
Depends upon, you know, it just depends upon what the opportunities are that come down the road. But
well, if the station is switching times.
Switching times and programming.
It's messing with the audience size, and you know, that's the last thing you want to do in radio.
Right. And after a while, you know, it just gets old, the same old, same old. You know, it gets old. But the subject never I still stay educated about the subject. I still have a large client base. I still... I still have people who call up and say, I listened to you all those years. Still get that.
Are these serial remodeling people?
Yeah, they're either prize pigs or they're serial remodelers, one of the two. They're
prize
like Mrs.
Pigs? What's a prize
a prize pig?
Yeah.
What is that? A prize pig is each week we would do Name That Tool, and we'd make the tool noise, and then people would call in and say what they thought the tool was. Or we had giveaways from the local home center, from the local suppliers, and we always had giveaways. And the same people calling all the time and trying to win the prize. So we called them prize pigs because they called in all the time.
What a great idea.
And then
you could make it through life doing that, huh, almost.
Almost. And then there's people in the world who are like Mrs. Winchester. They think if they quit doing something to their house, they'll die. So you get those people, too, who just remodel. And then you get the ones who it's a couple. They've probably been married a good 50 years. And unless they're arguing about a remodeling project, they aren't happy. So
right. So
you get them on the phone, and he's trying to ask the question, and she's on the extension yelling.
So that's, yeah, a lot of fun, different things. Now, let's tell the audience how you and I became acquainted and how long we've known each other.
In 1978, you were the best man at my wedding.
Yeah, and when you married my best friend, Jose Novo, who for many years, years subsequent, was the station manager here of KSCO.
That is correct.
From like, I can't think, it was 1996 to 2006, actually.
No, I think it was before that. I think it was 94.
Uh-huh. Okay,
everybody
loved Jose here at KSCO.
And then he passed away.
Yeah, he died of cancer in 2009, December.
Mm-hmm.
And the most wonderful thing is that you remarried shortly after your divorce from him, because you were you're his ex-wife.
Right. Jose and I were divorced, but we were the best of friends.
And
we always said we were better brother and sister than we ever were husband and wife. We were just the best of friends.
Yeah. And that's just that's really nice. And you hear way more than 50% of the marriages these days end in divorce, you know, pretty quickly, right? And they're usually, you know, very very contentious and nasty and miserable and horrendous and all that kind of stuff.
No, ours was always very friendly.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yours
good
was
friends.
Just very, very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And after he passed, during the time that he was sick for, you know, several months, you were driving up from San Diego.
I'm based out of San Diego. I live and work in San Diego. And he lived up here with his mother on the West End here in Santa Cruz. So I went back and forth every other week for about 5 years. Every other week, back and forth, making sure he was taken care of.
Ex-wife.
But I'm his best friend.
Good best friend, yeah.
But I was his best friend.
Right.
You know, his mom was like my mom. My parents died when I was a teenager.
Oh.
So the only mother I ever knew was Mama. That's the only mother I've ever known for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
You have to keep in mind, we've known each other 35 years.
Yeah, you and
34.
I.
34, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're older and grayer, Michael.
Well, I am, but you're not. You look better than...
You
got an anti-aging secret of some sort.
Longevity. You know, I'm involved with Longevity. This station is involved with Longevity, but I personally am. And they have a product called Waterless Vitamin C. You didn't even know they had it. I told you about
true.
It yesterday.
We got over 600 products, and you can't be up to speed on all of them. You know, what we talk about here on the radio, and Alex Jones does, is Beyond Tangy Tangerine, you know.
No. Listen, they have this stuff called Waterless Vitamin C. And normally when you think about putting a vitamin C cream, it burns. You know, it's acidic, and it's on your face. Well, I use their waterless vitamin C and their toner, spray toner. I spray it on after I use it, and it literally eats the wrinkles off your face. I gave it as gifts last Christmas to four of my girlfriends down in San Diego, and all four of them are trying to reorder. The little bottle has lasted 6 months, and all four are trying to reorder right now because it ate the wrinkles, and I don't look my age.
You don't, right?
I look 10 years younger than what I really am. And it's because of waterless vitamin C.
Maybe I should take some. Will it do something?
No, you don't take it. You put it on your face.
Well, take it on my face.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I could make you look younger in no time. Hang out with me, Michael, and I'll make you look younger.
Hey, Mr. Logic, are you there? Are you there, Mr. Logic? Well, it shows that Mr. Logic is on the Skype, so he's monitoring us. Maybe. Now I hear a little sound.
Is he the guy that monitors, you know, the bleep thing?
No.
No, he's just a listener?
Well, he's more than a listener. He used to have a program called The Thinking Machine here on everybody's favorite radio station. Who knows about us, right? And we want to get him back on to do that program. He did puzzles and brain teasers and, you know, Mr. Wizard type stuff. And we would, when people would answer his puzzle questions that he would pose every week, they would get a lovely prize.
I would be a prize pig then on that. I have a really high IQ.
Pig, right?
I would be a prize pig on that show. I would.
That's pretty good.
Okay, well, so
there you are, Mr. Logic. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got a bad connection here, but I can hear you.
Oh, well, okay. Have you been listening to Kathy and me talk?
For most of it. I got cut off about a minute ago.
Well, I didn't cut you off, so it must have been the damn internet that did that.
Yeah, it doesn't like me.
Or your bummed connection from the next door neighbor, right? Now, are you going to get your own connection here? Because we gotta definitely have a stable connection if you're gonna reestablish the thinking machine here on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, I've already put Blink on, so I can probably be using that right now if I could figure out how to use it.
What is that?
That was what Richard told me to install.
Oh, you're talking about our engineer extraordinaire, Richard B. Luther II.
Right.
Okay, good. And what that does is it enables you to use the internet in a more prioritized fashion so that you're less likely to get disconnected?
Yeah, probably. Also better quality.
Right. Hey, guess who I talked to yesterday, Mr. Logic?
On the radio. Vernon.
Well, I did talk with Vernon, but it wasn't on the radio. He came down to the radio station here just as I was leaving to go get something to eat. And then he and I decided to go, and he kept me company because I wanted to buy him lunch, but he said he was already stuffed at 2 o'clock. But anyhow, no, from 12 to 2, I filled in for Dr. Corey Gold. And I interviewed the man who almost hired you away from Apple, which is probably the reason that you got hired by Apple more than anything else.
Al Alcorn?
No. Well, we talked about Al Alcorn. It was actually Nolan Bushnell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nolan Bushnell, who was the founder of Atari and the founder of Pizza Time Theaters and Chuck E. Cheese and all that, and a definitely a serial entrepreneur. And, you know, I really get off on connecting with people who change the world, you know. He changed the world. Nolan changed the world by being the father of the video games, right?
And, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, and just so the audience knows what I'm talking about, you were a physicist at JPL, at Jet Propulsion Labs in Pasadena, when the Apple II came out, when the Apple I and the Apple II came out, right?
Yeah, that was I was there from 70 to 78, yeah, and then the Apple I came out in 77, and then the Apple II came out in 1978, and that's when I left JPL to go to work at Apple.
But the reason you went to work at Apple, as the lore goes, you know, they didn't quite know what to do with you, but because there were rumblings that the competition at Atari was going to be hiring you, they said, hey, we don't care what we have him do. We just don't want Atari to get him. Isn't that what happened, sort of?
Yeah, basically. I mean, Apple was certainly aware of me for a long time. In fact, after I was there, I had an office with Jeff Raskin, who designed the Macintosh. And one day we were having a conversation. He said that back in those days, I would send a game up to Apple, and the rest of the company would take the day off playing the game. So they were certainly aware of me, but nobody ever approached me with any kind of an offer until Atari got interested in me. And then a couple days later, I got a phone call, and And they said, Atari said they, after Atari had called me and interviewed me, Apple called me and said they wanted to talk to me too.
But how did they find out? I mean, just they just you didn't call them up and say, call Apple up and say, hey, you better get with the program here, or else I'm going to work for your competitor. That didn't happen, did it?
Oh no, I did. I never called Apple. I mean, I had very little contact with Apple except occasionally sending them some of my games or whatever. But I had mutual friends who were working at Atari and at Apple, and I guess I had indirect communications, but nothing official.
I see. Yeah, and so so you got hired, and I guess you were sort of playing in the playpen with Steve Wozniak, right? Just experimenting and just doing things, huh?
Yeah, Steve and I kind of had what would you call it, a free run, basically. He could do pretty much whatever he wanted to do, and as it turned out, I kind of could do what I wanted to do, too. And so as a result, I mean, I worked on projects that would probably be considered today as R&D, where I would try something new and have some technical support from the engineers and so on. And so in that sense, Steve and I were probably the first two employees to be in their R&D department, even though there wasn't an R&D department as such at the time.
Research and development, yeah.
Right.
Hey, how come they don't call it R-A-D, research and development, R instead of R-N-D? That's a good question for Mr. Logic. How come it's like cat is spelled with a C instead of a K?
I think they're not pronouncing it. They are saying R-N-D, but people just don't say the complete word and. So they say R-N-D.
R and then.
Like ampersand.
R, ampersand.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think the people just aren't talking right.
Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, mind your P's and Q's. They don't.
What does that
same
mean?
Thing. They say and.
That's
not
true.
P and your P's and Q's.
Yeah, but that's a statement. That's not a department like R&D.
All right. So you and I became acquainted, Mr. Logic. You became sort of a pretty famous person among Apple computer devotees, of which I was definitely one. I bought an Apple computer not because I was interested in computing, but because I was in the video production business in the 1970s, and I wanted to buy a character generator so that I could type and electronically create titles for the credits of the videos that I was making, instead of having to, you know, hire an artist and wait days and stuff like that, and then have them draw up a little board that I would film with the video camera. I wanted to do it electronically, and I realized that these home computer things could probably be harnessed for that particular reason. So that's why I bought an Apple II computer, and in the process of getting to know it, I got to know about you, because you used to make the Apple II computer do things in software that even Steve Wozniak, the guy who invented the computer, the guy who created it, was blown away. He had no idea that his own computer could be used to do the things that you made it do, like speak in a human-like voice and, you know, speech synthesis and all that kind of stuff. And when you and I became acquainted, when I was the president of the Santa Cruz County Apple Users Group, for 3 years, from 1980, 81, and 82, you showed up one day and announced, I used to ask people to stand up and announce who they are and, you know, why they were there and everything. And you said you were Bob Bishop, and all of the heads turned and said, we said, not the Bob Bishop. And you said, well, yeah, I guess so. The famous Bob Bishop who made the Apple computer do amazing things, unbelievable things. So, you know, it was great. It was great to get to know you and get to be friends with you. But you were always pretty frustrated about how computers were being used. You wanted computers to be used to solve puzzles and be, you know, amusement devices more than devices for business. And so, you know, I think you got a little frustrated and decided to buy an RV and travel around the country, right?
Yeah, actually, I wasn't that much interested in having computers for video games. I mean, that certainly has developed overkill in recent years. In fact, our country now, I think we're raising a generation of kids who are going to grow up to be expert game players, while the rest of the world is going to be expert computer users. most of the kids today don't seem to know how to do much of anything else but play video games and check their email.
Amen.
Yeah, and this is a bad thing. We all agree, right?
Absolutely.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what can and should be done?
I don't know what can be done. I mean, I think what should be done is we should make computer literacy be more prevalent than it is. I mean, we're not really teaching computer literacy in schools for the most part. They still have the three R's as traditional education. But I think education as a whole is going downhill in this country.
It is going down the toilet, you know. Let's see, Nolan Bushnell, we didn't get a chance to get into that too much yesterday, even though we talked for 2 hours on the noon to 2 p.m. yesterday. But I know that one of the things that fascinates him is, brain data, study about the brain and how it works and how it learns and so forth, and particularly the notion of keeping brains active in older individuals. Now, we're all getting up there. I'm 60. My mom is 91. Kathy is, you're about 56.
29.
Okay, 29. All right.
She's my age.
Yeah. All right. I guess that is the talk radio demographic. It's an older demographic. And for many years, I thought that people who listen to talk radio tend for the most part to be very computer literate and use the computer a lot. Yeah, Kathy's shaking her head. Yeah,
no.
You're right, Kathy. You're absolutely right.
No.
It was a rude awakening to me to find out just how many people do not use computers. And I don't understand how a human being can function in society these days without using a computer.
The same way they always have. I mean, people sit in their comfort. Well, they sit in their comfort zone. They do what's the path of least resistance. They do what's most comfortable. I think though that most people don't use a computer to its total ability. They have a computer and they do the email and they Google search what they're looking for. You know, they need to find the local restaurant or the local, they're trying to buy something online.
Uh-huh.
They don't use it for its total ability. When you buy a computer, it's loaded down with all these programs, especially Microsoft. It's got Excel, OneNote, Contacts, Word, it's got all these programs. It gets loaded down. I don't even do it. I have four computers, and I don't even use all the things that it could possibly do.
Well, I
think the majority of people
Excel are. I use Excel spreadsheets and databases and things. Do you, Mr. Logic?
I hardly use any of those things.
See? He's the same way.
And he understands all this stuff. Yeah. He can actually think and program in machine language. But,
Well, the reason I even got my computer in the first place was so I could write my own programs. And so as a result, I haven't had much need to use the CAN software that comes with the computer.
Right. I think, though, people get the computer and they do it for basic things, but they don't do all the things it could possibly do.
Oh, well, I don't know. So, I don't know. I must check email 700 times a day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're shaking your head.
I mean, that's insane.
It is insane?
Well, the thing is that I get so much advertising and spam and all this kind of
stuff. I just ignore
that. I just delete it all. I don't check my email that often.
Except
I don't turn my cell phones on that often. I don't want to be that communicative.
Well, but
I use my computer for CAD. I do computer-aided drafting, when I'm designing a kitchen or a bathroom or a house, and then it comes up in CAD. So I use it a lot for that, but ugh.
Well, what we do with the longevity business, is we for years we've been producing the alternative health program, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, from our bomb shelter here, and it goes out to a bunch of radio stations around the country that are called affiliates.
Right.
And each of those affiliates is also a business partner with us in the business that educates people about the importance of having a basic understanding of the importance of nutrition and no longer blindly, you know, trust the media and and the pharmaceutical companies that have all these toxic, you know, drugs that by definition have side effects that are oftentimes worse than the original disease.
True. So that's your emails? Most of the emails are the longevity stuff?
Yeah.
What are all these emails? Why do you have to check them all day long?
I don't have to check them all. I just sort of do. And, of course, 700 is an exaggeration. But, I mean, I check it many, many times. And when they came out with the iPhone, I have an iPhone and smartphones, I said, hey, this is great because, you know, now I don't have to be tethered to a desktop here to check my emails. Now, what I don't do is I don't have the little gongs, you know, activated, little alert sounds, because I would be going crazy. I'd be hearing beeps all the time out of my pocket, and that would make me insane.
Okay, I'm not going to bash you about this. I have 3 cell phones, 12 telephone numbers, an iPad, 4 computers. I got you beat.
Now, that's a little crazy.
I got you beat.
Do you think Kathy is crazy, Mr. Logic? Be honest.
No, he knows I'm smart.
Well, you can be smart and crazy.
Well, yeah, the two don't necessarily exclude one another, but I don't see anything wrong with what she's doing.
I don't either.
No, I have 3 cell phones. You're either on the A list, the B list, or the C list, and depending upon who you are determines which phone number you get.
Oh.
And Michael Zwirling is the only person who hasn't asked me yesterday when I gave him my cell phone. He didn't say, well, did I get the A list, the B list, or the C list phone number? He didn't even want to know where he ranked.
I was afraid that it would be C.
No, so, I gave you the A-list phone number.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All righty. All right, Dave Michaels is in there, ready to push the buttons for the commercials.
Yeah, that's because Rick is bleeping sick.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, we have some wonderful advertisers that keep this station going, as do our listeners. Who send us their donations through PayPal, through the KSCO.com, or advertisers who want to get their advertising messages out to our thousands and thousands. I think we have tens of thousands of new listeners because KGO disintegrated several months back.
Oh, I think so, too.
Right?
I also think that you pick up new listeners as people channel surf.
Uh-huh.
I think you pick it up depending upon your topic.
Well, KGO did everything right for 35 years and never gave their audience a reason to switch their dial, no matter what time of day
right.
It was.
True.
And now when they did that major bleep up, you know, in December, you know, they changed their format and let a lot of their great hosts go. That essentially gave their listeners a reason to move off of 810 and scan the dial, and a lot of them found us.
And that's a good thing.
And it's a wonderful thing. It's great. And so that's why. And we should have raised our advertising rates dramatically. But instead, we kept them the same. Maybe we even lowered them in some cases.
Good for you.
Anyhow, so you get a lot more bang for your buck.
Okay. And then when we come back from break, I want to ask you about government regulation.
Okay.
Remodeling.
And Mr. Logic, too.
Yeah, Mr. Logic, too. I mean, these are general questions.
Because he is the supreme intellect.
I'd also like to interject that today is supposedly someone famous's birthday.
It's lots of famous's people's birthday.
Well, this one isn't a person, though.
What is it?
Well, according to erroneous sources, they claim that today is Donald Duck's birthday.
He's one of my favorite.
Hey, yeah. Mr. Logic, he's one of your favorites, too. You have this incredible collection. Disney memorabilia and, you know, artwork and comic books and things. But have you ever talked to – can you talk in Donald Duck language like some people I know can?
Not – I wouldn't want to try it now.
Yeah. If there's anybody listening to the Saturday special, we haven't opened the phone lines, but I do want to open the phone lines for this kind of a person. Okay? If you can talk to us in Donald Duck type – in a Donald Duck type voice, please call us right now at 479-1080. If you know somebody who can do that, please get in touch with that person and t- tell them about the radio show that's going on now and give them the phone number 479-1080 in area 831 so they can call us and we can entertain them. I would do it myself, but I can't. I could do a Rush Limbaugh impression, but I can't do a Donald Duck impression. It would be...
You know, I can't do it either.
Not wise. Okay, Dave, do we have any commercials? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank God.
There's a new newspaper in the Monterey Bay area, and it has real news in it. Hello, I'm John Chown, publisher of the Monterey Bay News and Views. As a longtime area news editor, I know how important it is to get you the news, and we are doing just that in the News and Views. Here is what you will find in our latest edition.
The Monterey Bay has voted. We look at all six county supervisorial races in the region and talk to the candidates about what's next. CalAmp's plan for a privately owned desalinization plant will apparently be the only project considered by the California Public Utilities Commission. And two albino fawns, rare creatures once thought magical by many Native American tribes, have been spotted in a Monterey neighborhood. We also talked to Watsonville City Councilman Daniel Dodge about his plan to develop farmland into a shopping center and go on a hike to Natural Bridges.
You already know what's on at the movies this week, but if you want to know what your local government is doing, or who is doing all the moving and shaking from Scotts Valley to Carmel Valley, pick up a copy of the Monterey Bay News and Views, available everywhere it matters.
Those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer are just about here, and that means...
Wait, let me guess. Baseball, barbecues, girls on the beach?
Well, yes, Charlie, that's true, but it also means it's time for electrical safety.
Oh, of course! Hi, Charlie Friedman here with Chris Jensen from JM Electric. Summer is the time for electrical safety.
That's right, Charlie. Every year, thousands are injured or killed by electricity around the home. But thankfully, we now have incredible technologies today, like arc fault circuit interrupters and tamper-resistant receptacles that can protect you from those electrical fires and shocks. JM Electric is happy to help folks out with a free home assessment to see if any of these devices or our current safe testing services are a good fit for their home.
Give my friends at JM Electric a call. They'll come to your home, have an expert look at your electrical systems, and tell you what can be done to make your home safe, just like they did for my home, and their visit won't cost you a dime. Give JM Electric a call at 422-7819 or visit jmelectric.com or on Facebook and tell them Charlie sent you.
It's time to paint the house, and who better to do the job than Walls Painting? Why? Because Walls knows Walls. Locally owned Walls Painting is fully licensed, bonded, and insured, and has been painting Central Coast homes and businesses for over three decades, and is the Good Times Best of winner 2 years running.
Hello, I'm Jim Harmon, president of Walls Painting. We are committed to starting and finishing projects on time, to maintaining a clean, safe, and ecologically friendly environment, and we are committed to excellence in our workmanship.
Get the most from your painting dollar. Call on Walls Painting, a proud member of Think Local First, 831-425-3622, 425-3622, or wallspainting.com. Call Walls right now and get a free color consultation from a real designer and $500 off any complete exterior or interior color job, 425-3622.
And remember, Walls knows Walls.
Since 1849, California has been the new frontier, and the passion for innovation and development of great new products and services continues. But one thing that has changed is how these products and services are introduced, developed, and marketed to the consumer. Whether you're marketing a brand, a band, a product, or a service, Link Media Partners is here to help. To find out how we can help you, call 831-295-1849 or find us online at linkmediapartners.com.
The original Stagnaro family has been in business since 1879. The Stagnaro name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. The family's Gilda's Restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters of the Santa Cruz area. It's where fishermen gather each morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hi. Dino looks forward to meeting you at Gilda's on the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Reach for the sky. Hello, I'm Chris Gallardi of Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey airports. You can reach for the sky in one of Specialized Aviation's airplanes or helicopters. And it will be so easy, you'll wonder why you waited so long to fly.
Hello, I'm Mary McDonald. I'm an aerobatic pilot here at Specialized Aviation. Join us at the Watsonville Aviation Thrill Center for all kinds of extreme flying fun. I'm talking aerobatics from 3,000 feet, where you loop, roll, spin, and dance over the Monterey Bay. Or
A graceful helicopter tour for that over-the-top view of all the magic the beautiful Monterey Bay has to offer. Or take on the adventure and challenge of learning to fly a helicopter or an airplane. Or jump out of an airplane and free fall from 14,000 feet. It's all here, and at prices starting at only $33.
Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey Airports. 831-763-2244 or sphelly.com.
That sounds like the noontime show bumper music, isn't it?
Well, it's Cruel Summer is the name of the song, and it's summertime officially. I don't know if it's official yet, but
yeah, it's
the kids
official.
Are out.
I think it's the 20th.
If you're a kid, it's close enough.
Absolutely.
Summer break.
Yeah.
Summer break.
It's a wonderful time to come to the station and get your copy of Kay's book and get it.
Hey, Father's Day is just a couple weekends away.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I forgot all about that. We have... We're just having sort of an informal Saturday special here, a discussion with friends Kathy Novo, Shoemate, and Mr. Logic himself in person, you know, via Skype. And so, so where were we? Oh, yeah, Kathy, you wanted to talk about government regulations.
Well, in the remodeling, I've been in it 27 years. 27 years remodeling homes in the San Diego, Southern California area. And the building codes change all the time. And I was telling you when we were at the break, it's just gotten, I think, ridiculous. Especially, I'll give you an example. I just remodeled this bathroom for a client. The toilet now, you know, low-flow toilets have been around for years. Government says, okay, you can't have these big 3 and 4 gallon toilets flushing water. You know, it's a waste of the water. So we need to go into 1.5 gallon. So toilet manufacturers produced gravity flushability, air-assisted, that type of flushing mechanism so that 1.5 gallons will work. Well, now they have it down to 1.3. You pull your toilet out, let's say, to change the flooring, and you have to put this low flow toilet in that doesn't flush. You have to flush it 4 or 5 times to get it to work, and there's the 5 gallons. Now, I think the thing, though, that really just sent me over the edge a couple weeks ago is that in San Diego, and I believe it's through the state of California now, when you change out your light switch in the bathroom, it has to be automatic. In other words, you walk in the room and motion. It's a motion switch. And motion causes the light to go on. And then if no one's moving around, the light will automatically go out. So I said, what if you're sitting on the toilet and all of a sudden there's no movement, you're just because you're sitting on the toilet, and the light goes out. You still have to start flopping your arms around to get the light to go back on. It's just
this
insane.
This is an outrage.
Well, it's ridiculous, you know, and the new light bulbs. Oh, we're not going to make a regular light bulb. I'm staying at a bed and breakfast right now. In the bathroom, they have to put in the low wattage fluorescent new light.
Oh my God, those little
pigtail looking things.
Yeah.
I flicked on the bathroom light and I waited. I timed it. I decided, okay, I'm going to see 6 minutes before the thing came up to its full wattage capacity and it's blue. I looked hideous in the mirror. Who does this stuff? It's just getting out of control.
I said that this was going to be a controversial program.
It's ridiculous.
But you know what I'm realizing now? It's not going to be a controversial program because nobody, unless you're a stinking idiot, could disagree with you that it's idiotic and ridiculous.
Well, then they tell
us. Is there anybody out there who would call KSCO at 479-1080 and take the position that it's anything less than ridiculous to have these buildings?
Well, and even more ridiculous is they said, well, we're going to allow LED lighting. So if you would like to, you know, if you're going to change all, let's say your kitchen. I do a lot of kitchens and baths. So I have this customer right now that's going to only put in 7 can lights, 7 recess lights in the ceiling, and they're LED. I bought the 7 can lights, a dimmer switch, and a secondary switch. They want a 3-way and a dimmer. And just the cost of the product, not the wiring, not the labor to put it in, just the cost of 7 can lights was $1,300. Who the hell's got that kind of money? You don't. Most people, I mean, this client does, but most people can't afford LED. So they go back to the little pigtail. It's insane. Heat, light, and ventilation. How many windows you can have, how big the windows are, and how much ventilation the screen. They now tell you what you have to have.
I'll bet this has something to do with Agenda 21.
Maybe. Well, I know heat, light, and ventilation is Title 24, what they call Title 24, and they calc your house out, how many square feet. And yours is so not Dakota. I've been in your house. Yours is definitely
not.
Well,
don't say that. Don't say that publicly.
Yeah, but the building inspector would have to know your gate code.
The Nazis will come after me, you know.
You know, the pound 1234 at your gate code. I know your gate code.
Jesus. Kathy, now you be cool here.
Oh, God. I've only made you blush about 4 times in my whole life. This is one of them. No, I just get...
We're going to open the phone lines if anybody wants to purchase.
And the other thing that pushes my buttons is the guys that work out of the back of their pickup truck with no license, no insurance, and they're going around ripping off people. Those people just make me crazy. And however, on the other side of it, a lot of homeowners don't even know how to check out a contractor to see if he's legit or not, or if he's the right one. They don't know how to enter into contracts. Yeah, most people aren't knowledgeable.
So that leads me to ask you about Angie's List. Mm. What do you think about Angie's List?
You mean the one where you have to pay to be on there to be? It's like the Better Business Bureau. The Better Business Bureau, pay to have somebody say something nice about me. You know, and the only
is that
people,
what that is?
Well, basically, Angie's List is you go on to that and you pay money and you become a member. And once you have a good experience or a bad experience, because you're a paid member, you can go on there and write your experience. So basically, unless you're a paid member, you're not going on there and reading whether my company is good or not. Okay, so it's very limited. And I don't think it's effective.
Is it something? Yeah, there's something called Diamond Certified.
Now that's a good program.
It is a good program. Mm-hmm. Why is that a good program? Because here's my impression. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that if you're a Diamond Certified whatever business, mm-hmm. all it meant is that you filled out an application and paid your money. And,
no.
And paid an ongoing fee or something. And
like
and
the Better Business Bureau.
Then you get to be. You say that you abide by their code of ethics, whether or not you do, and nobody checks you out. All they care about is with, and this is what I thought. I don't know mm-hmm. whether this is the case. You seem to say that Diamond Certified is worth some, is legitimate.
Well, the thing about Diamond, I'll talk about construction and remodeling in that. That's my expertise. You should check out a contractor on the contractor's license board. That's common knowledge. Everybody knows that. But it goes a little deeper than that. You have to find out what kind of contractor is he. Is he licensed to be doing what he's doing? Whose license is it? Is it, you know, you have to check out a lot of things. In a program like Diamond Certified, though, when you fill out the application, they actually go through that whole process of that company and do that for you, so to speak. And they are known to reject people where other like a Better Business, they don't reject anybody.
Better Business doesn't reject anybody.
They take
as long as you pay the fee, you're in.
But I don't pay fees to be a member of any of that kind of stuff. I pay fees for the National Kitchen and Bath Association, who I have my credentials through, the American Society of Interior Designers, the National Association of Home Builders, that kind of stuff.
We're going to get into more of this at the second hour, but we're getting to the top of the hour now for the news. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 o'clock. Here is CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nahn. Leaks of secret information have triggered 2 more Washington investigations. Attorney General Eric Holder has named two U.S. attorneys to get to the bottom of unauthorized release of classified information. That is in addition to a probe by the FBI. New York Republican Congressman Peter King of the House Homeland Security Committee concerned.
These leaks are disgraceful. I believe there are clear violations of law, and it comes from people at the very center of the government.
Obama administration critics charge that the leaks make the president look good, perhaps helping his reelection chances. He calls such charges offensive and wrong. The outgoing Congress staring down the barrel of a batch of unfinished financial business.
When the election is over, Congress will have just a few weeks to fix a year's worth of problems before taxes surge and automatic spending cuts kick in, giving a body slam to the economy. Publicly, there's nothing but finger-pointing right now. But Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar says more than 40 senators are quietly trying to have a solution ready.
We've made some headway, and it would be a mix of spending cuts and revenue.
But all previous attempts at compromise have failed, with Democrats resisting cuts in Medicare and Republicans refusing to let any taxes go up. Bob, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
United Nations observers in Syria released the first independent video images from a scene of a reported massacre last week in a remote farming village. Activists say up to 78 people, including women and children, were shot, hacked, and burned to death in the incident. At least 17 people reported killed today in the town of Dara. CBS senior military analyst Richard Myers refuses to give up on a diplomatic solution.
We may be approaching a tipping point, but tipping to what? You know, diplomacy still has a chance to work. Even Russia, I think, now has said that they'd be for Assad leaving as long as it's a peaceful process, not one that's done under duress. Whether that can happen or not, who knows?
Myers, a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, on CBS This Morning Saturday. Ready to mark another royal occasion.
The Queen's husband, Prince Philip, gets his birthday wish. Smiling and waving, he left a London hospital after 5 days of treatment for a bladder infection. The Duke of Edinburgh will now be able to celebrate his 91st birthday tomorrow with his royal family. The hospitalization forced Philip to miss the second half of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee celebrations. Buckingham Palace says he'll continue to convalesce at home. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
A career grand slam at the French Open. Match point on NBC Sports.
And Maria Sharapova will shed tears into the red clay.
Sharapova defeating Sarah Errani of Italy 6-3, 6-2.
I served really well in those juice points, which was really important, and tough match points as well that she won. And it was a battle.
This is CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you some rags and a bucket. Oh, no. Right now, we've got deals that will make your car shine. Buy two, get one free on Armor-All wipes. Two for $10 on select Meguiar's products. And dozens more deals throughout the store. Yeah, that's dozens with an S and a Z, too, in case you're writing this down. Right now, at Advance Auto Parts, service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Small businesses that drive the housing market are demonstrating what appears to be a solid comeback.
The small businesses that drive the housing market say they're seeing signs that the industry may be experiencing a real comeback in home sales.
They're running 10% above a year ago. The first quarter of this year was the strongest we've seen in 5 years.
Walter Maloney with the National Association of Realtors says this home sales recovery does have legs.
We're seeing a lot more stabilization in home prices. The past 2 months have been seeing prices above a year ago.
And for the first time in a long time, it's a seller's market in some parts of the country. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
It's a weekend on edge for bank officials, bond insurers, and investors. Fallout expected from a series of bank downgrades, which the Wall Street Journal says could hit the U.S. as soon as this week. Moody's Investor Service says it probably will reduce the credit ratings for 17 big banks by the end of the month. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, June 9th. 2012. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. Again, not a whole lot of traffic to report on out there right now. As a matter of fact, I see no major incidents on either side of the hill. Traffic at the Fishhook moving at the limit for right now as well. Your KSEO weather forecast for this afternoon is for sunny conditions with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight should be mostly clear with overnight lows around 50 degrees. Tonight's boaters forecast, west winds 10 knots, increasing to 15 to 25 knots. Later this afternoon, wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 to 5 feet, and west swells 4 to 6 feet every 10 seconds. There's also a small craft advisory, which will remain in effect throughout this evening. Outside KSEO Studios, it's currently 67 degrees. Inside KSEO Studios, we're having a big book blowout sale. Kay's Whirling is up front getting ready to autograph your books. Father's Day just about 2 weeks away, so be sure to stop by and maybe pick up a copy for yourself as well. Be sure to do that today for at least another hour. Kay will be out there signing books. Right now, though, MZ is getting ready for hour number 2 of the Saturday special.
Instantly, we're going to open the phone lines at 479-1080. That's an area 831. And the email, mz@ksco.com, for you to call and participate.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And if you don't call or email to participate, I can only conclude that Kathy and or Mr. Logic has frightened you.
No.
Huh? What would you say? No?
No. No, we should open up the phone lines. The thing is remodeling. I can answer just about any question, but
okay.
My expertise is I'm a certified master kitchen and bath designer, certified interior designer, and I'm very knowledgeable when it comes to the different products, where to shop for everything, how do you get discounts. The questions generally lie when people are saying, you know what, I don't know if I want granite or that quartz stuff. I don't know if I want that porcelain tile. Where's the best place to buy wood flooring? You know, there's some great places. If you have
all
to
right.
buy wood flooring.
Now, may I be frank
yes.
with you? Okay. I don't see a single phone call.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason that I think I don't see a single phone call. Can it be that everybody is so broke and that the Home Depots of the world are such ghost towns these days that it just ain't happening, that it's not an appropriate topic? Is that possible?
No.
I mean, obviously there are people with money this is a great time to remodel because you can get better deals.
Well,
you know?
There's a couple things that contribute to the not remodeling their home right now. First of all, the weather changes. And when the weather changes, people tend to do outdoor projects. So if we were discussing plants, if we were discussing rose bushes and walkways and how to kill weeds and that kind of thing, then we would end up in probably a different show and a bunch of call-ins.
Oh,
when it comes
do you
to
want
the,
to discuss that?
No, not really, because everything I plant dies, so that's why I have a gardener. The thing is when it comes to the interior, yes, it's expensive to remodel the interior of your home. However, there are certain things that you can do in a down economy that give your home what I would call a facelift. How much is a can of paint? How much is some area rugs? Throwing
is it 1995?
No.
What is it?
No, it's not 1995.
For a quart. I mean, for a gallon.
No, it's closer to 21, between 21 and 25. But sure, go on the web to Sherwin-Williams
right.
when you go onto the web.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is amazing. This is great. This is wonderful.
Thank you.
actually got a phone call today on the Saturday special. Finally. It's a record. In 21 years, we never had an hour where we didn't have a phone call. But here's Bill in Santa Cruz. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
Hey. Well, it sounds like an interesting guess to me. But I have a theory. This is a partial theory. Obviously, the economy is down. Even though it's the private sector is just fine, I don't buy it at all. But the real problem's in the public sector. Well, we could sit down and talk about that while people receive their retirement checks at 50 at 100K each. But moving on to one of the reasons I think that the building trades is suffering, it is very difficult and expensive to get a permit to do any kind of remodeling or room addition in this county.
True.
It costs more for the permit than for the construction.
I put in for a 600-square-foot room addition above a garage. It's going to cost me $20,000-plus to get the permission to have these clowns come up and tell me what I can and can't do.
What you can and cannot do. How many windows? How much heat, light, and ventilation? How much electrical? How many outlets? What kind of roof? What kind of insulation? They're going to tell you how to live your life. Oh, and write the check for that.
20 grand and not one penny goes to a carpenter.
That's right.
Or a tradesperson. And that's what's going on. So they're forcing people that are, you know, there are people that are going to bootleg this stuff in, but they are so prohibitive down there and so costly that you are hurting the local tradespeople. By the practices at the county of Santa Cruz.
Do you think things are so onerous at the county and the city that many otherwise law-abiding people would be moved to just scam it in without a permit?
He wouldn't be able to do here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
really?
Absolutely.
The unfortunate thing...
They just can't afford $20,000 to start the addition.
They want to
build it for 20 grand.
See, most... what I find is that if it's interior remodeling and they don't get the permit because they don't want to pay all the fees, the chances of getting caught are less than zero because the building inspector driving down the street can't see. Unfortunately for you, obviously, it's anybody driving by is going to see the roof off your house and a second story going on, so you basically don't even have the choice whether to get the permit or not. See, the law says that the choice of getting the building permit is on the homeowner. However, if the homeowner chooses not to get it, the contractor still has to be licensed, insured, bonded, and he must build it to code.
Is there anybody out there listening to this program who would want to do some sort of a remodel that would require a permit?
It does.
That would have the nerve to actually do it and to call this program to say, you know, you could disguise your voice if you want. I mean,
no,
I don't,
they
I
just
don't
won't
think,
give their name.
Or don't, yeah, just give it fake.
There's
name
no
or
building
like.
Inspector listening.
Or be a person who has the balls to give your name and say, I think it's so ridiculous. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play that game. How do you like that?
And so is Bill still
yeah,
on there?
Still on.
Hey, Bill. So are you paying the $20,000 for the plan check? I'm assuming you've got a plan check fee and
a
permit.
Yeah. Well, when I say the $20,000, it includes the architectural, the civil engineering, all the things that are necessary to submit to do the work.
Right.
And everybody, here's what the county does, is they want you to hire an engineer that you pay $2,500 to after you architect your plants.
That's right.
To show that it's structurally correct.
Okay.
And then they charge you $1,800 to review his work.
Yep. And the same way, you're going to have to – so you paid a Title 24 calc for heat, light, and ventilation. You paid engineering. Basically, you're paying for them to stamp the drawing saying, yeah, this will work and won't fall down in the next storm or earthquake.
Correct. 20. If it's over 500 square feet, they want a soils report. If it's been already done, they want a review letter. They'll charge you $1,800. The geologist will charge you $1,800 for the review letter. The county will charge you about $1,800 to review his review letter.
Yep. So do you also have to
do it legally?
Yeah.
You know, this is what it's like.
Well, and you can't do it illegally.
Do it illegally.
Yeah, but you can't do it illegally. You're going to get caught. But down in San Diego, if we exceed 500 square feet on a room addition, a special school tax kicks in, and it basically doubles the tax that you owe to the school district, which is included in your permit fee. So did they charge you extra?
Absolutely. You have to pay a school tax, all that stuff.
Yep.
And so, so essentially, you know, what you have is you have this huge drag on the worst section of our economy right now in the United States. This is my opinion, is the home building sector, because it has been the hardest hit because the recession was generated in the mortgage real estate industry, which in turn the home starts are down. And so what you have is a situation where not only do you have unemployed people, but you have a lot of underemployed people that aren't even on the rolls. Contractors that were maybe making 100 to 150K, 200K a year are now scraping by and maybe making $30,000 or $40,000, which isn't a lot of money in Santa Cruz County.
No, not up here. Same with San Diego.
On.
Yes.
And then if a homeowner says, okay, I want to do a remodel, they just about shudder when they hear what it's going to cost just to get the permit.
Right.
And you haven't employed anybody yet.
Yeah, you haven't even employed anybody. You know, the other thing is I think that
the county, you're employing those people in the county building down there. That's why they do that. They fund themselves with that stuff.
Yes. You know, the other thing is with the homeowners. You know, I think the homeowners think that when the economy tanked like it did, that things were going to be cheaper. So might as well remodel. The people that did have equity or the people that did have savings and wanted to put it into their home. I'm talking from a contractor point of view. They come to us and they say, well, you know, this is going to be cheaper because the economy's down. When did you see, as a contractor, the cost of your liability insurance go down, or the cost of your bond, or the cost of your license? You
or
didn't.
The cost of your permit.
Yeah, or the cost of your permit. You didn't see that go down, and you didn't see when you went to the local home center the cost of a box of nails or a sheet of drywall or a roll of wire. When did you see the cost go down? It never went down. All the costs stayed the same. And then they wonder why. So people are looking for ways to save money, so they're not getting building permits. That's one way to cut costs. In the case of Bill, though, there's no way you can put a second story on and not get seen. I mean, and then it's even worse. When they red tag your job, it's even worse. You think 20 is bad now? Wait till you get red tagged.
What happens?
Oh,
if
I
you,
know.
What
I,
happens if you
know.
If you're red tagged? Well, does your lender call you and say you better fix this or else?
Well, first of
what
all,
happens?
A lender, if a lender's involved, a lender isn't going to lend unless they see the building permit. Okay, that's first of all. But if you had cash, let's say there's no lender involved, and you make a decision to move forward with a building project, and you don't have a permit.
Yeah, because you'd rather not subject yourself to that misery.
Right. What you have to do is they red tag the job, meaning nobody can work on the job. You get caught working on that job, and you're fined a minimum of $5,000. Well, then what happens is you have to go through this entire process that Bill's talking about. You have to get drawings. You have to submit for plan check. Then they come out and inspect. And if you've covered up, let's say with drywall, anything that needed to be inspected, you have to start dismantling what you've done. It could end up costing you more money. I think the process of getting over-the-counter, what they call over-the-counter permits, I think it's terrific. And, you know, it's somebody who's just taking out their bathroom and putting a new bathroom in, or taking out the kitchen and putting a new kitchen in, or laundry room, and you need just a general plumbing or electrical permit. I think those are great permits. You just go down and say, I'm doing a change out. And
even in this county, Bill?
Well, Bill,
Bill, isn't it true that if you break wind in this county, you need to get an environmental impact report?
What?
But absolutely. Absolutely. You would have to get a soils report to do anything almost here in this county.
This
but
is
you,
insane.
You have to understand, this county, if you replace a hot water heater, it requires a permit.
Because it involves a gas line sometimes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out and inspect.
You know, the thing is with gas, it's like I tell people, get a professional.
I want to know how many people, if there's anybody listening who would have the nerve to do anything that requires a permit without a permit.
Well, why would you want somebody to call in when you do it all the time? Why don't I just interview you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would never do such a thing like that. I would never do
that. No, Mike, actually, I have to tell you, his whole thing was your whole home was done with permits.
Yeah.
I know it. I saw it.
Right. Okay, so anyhow, but I want to know how many people would have the guts to do something and just say, hey, or stand up and just say, no, I'm not going to do this. How do you like that?
It goes on all the time, Mike. And then if they get red tagged, it's a nightmare for them.
And so it is.
And so what you have a hostile environment to home building in this county.
Uh-huh.
It's in San Diego too, though, Bill.
Well, why don't they just make the rules reasonable? You know, and then they won't have to worry about it. But well, I guess if they make it reasonable, then A, they won't get
the revenue, and they won't get
the revenue from the fines for the people for the outlaws.
Yeah, they don't get the revenue.
Okay, I guess I just sort of.
That's what it's about, the growth of the public sector.
It's the end of it. It's the end. We might as well all pack up and leave.
You know what, Bill? It's done for your safety. We're just making sure that you'll be safe in your new room addition. Uh-huh. It's done for safety.
Let's start with this premise.
Bill, there are so many other people. The phone lines are jammed now. So at least
thank you for calling. You're a great guest.
You're welcome. We got a good subject now.
Yes, okay, you're good. a great guest.
I'll let
go
you
ahead.
Guys go on. All right.
Okay. He's a great caller. You're the great guest. Okay, Barbara in Watsonville, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, hi. I have a question for Kathy and then a comment. Kathy, can I hire you by the hour to maybe look at photographs of my interior and give me ideas since I'm up here and you're down there?
Well, I'm up here right now, and let me tell you, do you have an email?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your email address?
Okay, it's kathykitchenlady@yahoo.com. Kathy, it's K-A-T-H-Y, kathykitchenlady@yahoo.com. Okay, shoot me an email, and after the show gets over with, I'll make arrangements with you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
And it's not as if you won't be up here more.
I come up here all the time.
Maybe
and the other thing
to a potty.
No, I'll just swing by her house on my way home.
Okay.
I'm driving home tomorrow. I'll just swing by her house on my way home, and it's free. My initial appointments are always free.
Fabulous.
Okay.
All right. Well, great.
Who can argue with that?
My comment is on the building permit stuff, and
right.
You know, I would guess that Santa Cruz County is probably more advanced than any other county in the country in terms of creating permitting hell, I call it. And there's a reason for that, because Santa Cruz County in 1997 was one of the first counties to sign on to, and Michael, you were right, Agenda 21. Now, in order to get help from ICLEI, which is the consulting arm for how to implement Agenda 21, the county has, or whatever entity it is, has to agree to support the United Nations Global Biodiversity Report, which says that, among other things, single-family homes are not sustainable. So that's really, in addition to just getting the fees, the driving force is a philosophical issue, which basically has people living in the high rises along the railroad tracks. It's true.
See, I agree.
So until now,
it's pretty diabolical, huh?
Some entities, some cities and counties have been successful in throwing out Agenda 21 and getting rid of ICLEI. In fact, there's a book about Santa Rosa was, I think it's called Behind the Green Mask, about a woman who found out what was going on and was able to stop at least portions of it. But you would be surprised at the number of things that are not sustainable, like cars, that's one.
Right.
I mentioned single family.
Well, you know what, though, I agree to a point with you, but don't make government regulation and building permits and all of that the tool to educate people. Figure out another way to do it. It's like they're forcing you to do things because they want to educate you about sustainable and greenness and energy efficient that. Figure out another way to do it. Don't do it through the building department, through fees.
That perpetuates their agenda.
I agree completely, but who? I think they think, well, who's going to say, well, sure, take my home and build the railroad track. I mean, people don't want to live like that.
Nope.
I think they know how wildly unpopular the whole thing would be, and that's why it has to be done with stealth.
It's true. Shoot me your email, though.
I sure will.
All right, okay. Barbara, thank you very much for your call.
Bye-bye.
At the Saturday special. 479-1080 is the phone number. Just opened up a line. We want to hear from you, so give us a call. 479-1080. Here's David in Santa Cruz. Build Witho. It says build Witho. But I think it means built without permits, right? But it just...
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. You actually built without a permit?
Well, it's kind of a... Not quite an actual living structure, but I was putting up an accessory building, and apparently somebody notified the county inspector.
Oh, Lord.
And I got an email that told me that I had to stop building, and I come out and inspect it, blah, blah, blah. And I emailed him back, and I said, it's an accessory structure. I don't need a permit. I have reviewed the laws. He emailed me back. We had email wars over a period of 6 months. Well, this part of the law says this. And I emailed him back. I said, well, I investigated that. It doesn't apply because of why. He emailed me. Well, the law says Z. And I said, well, I investigated that. And it doesn't apply because of A. Just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally, after about 6 months, I heard nothing.
Well, did they ever come out, though? They never came out. They just did the harassing emails?
Absolutely. They never came out. I even invited him. I said, why don't you come out and take a look at what I'm doing?
This guy has way too much time on his hands. You know, accessory buildings, it has to do with size. It has to do with whether there's a pad port or not. It has to do with its proximity to the setbacks. There's all kinds of application to it, and for this guy to pass judgment without seeing it is insane.
Well, and that's the thing. I reviewed the laws because I didn't want to have to start building and tear it down again. So I made sure that I had my ducks in a row.
And stayed to the specific, I think it's 8x8, you can't exceed 8x8 now, or is it 10x10?
10x10.
10x10, yeah, you can't exceed
10x10.
Suppose you do 10x10 now, and then finish that, and then do another 10x10 connecting it to it. Can you just keep doing that forever until you have your 2400?
No, because you have to, there's a thing called lot ratio coverage. In other words, you own a 10,000 square foot lot, and all structures, whether they're outbuildings or the permanent structure, cannot exceed, let's say, 50% lot coverage. So you can only go so far before you have to stop and you've exceeded your lot coverage. But
the other part of that is an accessory building cannot be a living structure.
Right.
And a living structure is defined by you can have electricity or water, but you can't have both.
Right.
You can have drywall or insulation, but you can't have both. So it was not a living structure, and it was an accessory building, and there's
So what did you do? What did you do to the person?
We just had these email wars.
Yeah.
And then after about 6 months, I heard nothing from him.
And then who turned you in?
Finally, 3 months later, I had no clue.
They don't let you know that. That's what I remember from the old Citizens for Planning Reform days. I've said this before on the radio. Those of us who like KSCO, the radio station, can, you know, in a perverse sort of way, thank the city and county of Santa Cruz in the building planning departments, because doing the program, the Citizens for Planning Reform talk show in 1988 on this station, it was the only talk show on the whole radio station. It was on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. I was spending time here, and I got wind of the fact that the radio station was up for sale. And so if it wasn't for the planning department, I wouldn't have this and the radio and this station, whether people like it or not, it wouldn't be here.
I don't want to totally bash the county of Santa Cruz and the building department totally. Because on the other side of it, it's like
partially.
It's okay. A two-edged sword. On one side of it, I listened to what these last few callers have said, and it's insane some of the stuff that goes on. On the other side of the sword, though, is as a homeowner, How do you know that the guy you hired to come in and do the remodeling in your home has done it correctly? Who's checking that guy? If it weren't for the building inspector coming in and double-checking the electrical and double-checking, you know, plumbing lines and the installation of, let's say, the roof or whatever, the homeowner wouldn't have the protection and wouldn't know whether their job was being done right or not. So in a way, I agree with the building department. What I don't agree with is all these silly little laws that were put into place that that inspector has to enforce. It's crazy. Here's the other insane thing.
After the 6 months where I hear nothing from him, about 3 months after that, I got another email from him.
Oh.
I have resolved your situation. I'm thinking,
what
you never
situation?
Showed up. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what situation?
Crazy.
Okay.
You know, crazy. I never saw now, you. You never showed up.
Now, David, how can we thank you for this call?
I'm Gary Nunn. All I can say is people roll over. They hear, oh, yep. You can't do it. But, oh, my God. Okay, I'll stop. No. Fight.
Well, and do the research like you did. You read the building code. You know, that book is accessible to everybody, what the building codes are.
It's online.
But it'll make you crazy. It'll
it's online. You... And the other thing is that people, they get scared when the building department contacts them or some authority. And then they sometimes, in my case, they turn to the contractor. What did you do wrong? Well, we didn't do anything wrong. You know, you're right, though. Research. Okay. Research.
What I tell people is, I fought City Hall and I've won. I fought the county and I've won.
Well,
I
you go, David.
Companies, and
aren't you happy?
Try
that
the
we
IRS next. Do the IRS next.
Right,
you're really
David,
good.
Thank you. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to talk to Kathy Novo Shoemate herself in person in the flesh. And I'm here too.
I'm pretty smart about this.
You can talk to me anytime. Okay.
Well, you know, remodeling's not all bad.
Rick in Scotts Valley is going to be next, but first I'm going to read this Come Saturday Morning subject line email from our good friend George Myers, who sends very colorful emails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe the show would get more callers if Kay came on and sang Happy Gays Are Here Again for the big march downtown last week. Your good friend Kathy, although looking 10 years younger than she is, sounds like a tough truck driver, so you don't want to argue about the weather. It's hard to find a Daffy Duck impersonator. It's Donald Duck impersonator, since they are all retired and or not with us. Please tell Billy that Gilda and Big Boy are no longer with us, so visit the Sea Lions. Don't forget the memorial for Shannon Collins at San Lorenzo Park at 2 p.m. today. Get that Darth Vader back. That guy is great. Where's the fog when we need it? Wait a minute. He's just tricking. The fog is horrible. It's hideous. Fog depresses me. I'm happy that it's sunshiny. That's why I'm talking fast, and I don't give a bleep that there are no callers. Right? All right, Rick in Scotts Valley, you're on.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, gang. What's going on here? Hey, you know, MZ, when you get a good caller, you know, Rush gives away an iPod.
We should give away a K's commentary. Or should we give away iPhone or an iMac?
I got to compliment the gentleman that was just on with his accessory shed and doing his homework and all that. I was a framing contractor in the 70s. I got my license in 78, so it's through the 80s. And then finding out the way Santa Cruz was, I started – think about writing a book, and I never got to it, but I had a buddy do it back in Florida, and the book was to show people how to build and remodel without a general contractor. The general contractor, believe it or not, once they get to that point, they begin to live out of the loans, and most of the subs don't get paid. The poor carpet guy and the appliance guy, he doesn't ever get paid for months and sometimes never.
Oh, my God. You're painting with a very broad brush there, Rick.
Absolutely. Well, then the general contractors turned into what they called developers. Then they went after the real estate and they split the land and did that, and then they sold the lots. But they continued to build, and that's what started to escalate the prices of the homes. And then all of a sudden, if the owners of these homes watched these guys do this, became friends with them, and then they began to speculate and sell their house every 3 years, because unless you had a general contracting license, you couldn't do that. So they waited and sold, and they waited and sold, and people were moving and moving and turning these houses over and over, and that's what kept pushing the market up a little bit. But what I want to talk about is, like Kathy says, the codes are for real, and they're for and they're serious. And because now I do public works and build schools, and we get into the liability of our little million-dollar packages that went around out there, we can't build something that's going to fall down. So we go in with a structural engineer, and we go toe-to-toe with him instead of somebody who knew somebody at the county who has a little bit of construction background that goes and passes a test and becomes an inspector or a public works director or a public works design, what do they call the design review or whatever. Mm-hmm. These people go in with very limited knowledge, but yet they have the power
to shut down
and push people around, but have not – they really don't have a lot of construction.
Well, they don't have experience.
That's exactly right. They haven't built things.
They're
the one guys that – I look at a building inspector as a GC that couldn't make it in the open market.
Well, when they first graduate, you know, the thing is, it's like reading the driving manual at DMV. Just because you read the driving manual and you took the test doesn't mean you're an expert driver. And it's the same thing. And they haven't been around long enough. However, they have a lot of power. They have a lot of authority. And, you know, unfortunately, you just have to do what they say. We've been in the business in San Diego 27 years. The regular building inspector was on vacation, so I get the new kid on the block who comes and says, you can't convert this into a pantry. The ceiling's only 7 foot high. I said, a walk-in pantry is like a walk-in closet. It doesn't have to be 8 foot high. Nope. Start ripping the structure out. It must be 8 foot tall. I said, show me in the code. There's no code. And he shuts the job down. He doesn't know what to do, so he shuts the job down. That's the kind of stuff that just sends me right off the edge. The kid isn't experienced enough. We wait 2 weeks. The regular inspector comes back. Hey, Mike. Hey, Kathy. What's going on? We said, look at this mess and look what he did. He said, oh, for crying out loud, put the pantry there, you know. And I feel for you. I really feel for you.
Okay. Well, I want to offer up an idea, and maybe through maybe even Bill Wattenberg or MG. There's an issue on the not an issue, but there's a spot on the agenda of the county supervised. You know, when they have their board meetings and they vote on things and everything, there's a little spot at the very beginning of the agenda that says oral communications. And it is, you're allowed to stand up and talk about anything you want on any issue in the county that's not on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
So that you can verbalize this issue. I think that we should start a group that people that would write a paragraph or two. We would flood the halls, and we would go up during oral communications and filibuster their actions by staying in that room and keeping oral communications open until these guys get so tired they want to go home, and they get so tired they don't want to be a supervisor anymore. And we could filibuster them out of office or keep them from making these silly decisions that cost us all this money. And we could use the building department, the planning department, as our focus and continue to tell horror stories, just like the kid with the shed a while ago.
Yeah, the kid with the shed is a good example. I agree with you.
I'm
not in this area, so I can't be part of your group. Otherwise, I would be.
I think it's good that you bring the subject up, because the horror stories start the minute people talk about the Santa Cruz Planning and Building Department.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other thing that I find interesting is I don't hear a caller from the county or from the building department that's calling up saying to me, you all are wrong. We don't do this. I don't hear the phone ringing with somebody that works for them. But there's plenty of stories otherwise. And, you know, it's not just up here. It's not. It's San Diego also. It is.
Well, you know, California is the only one that rewrites the codes.
Yep.
I know you know that.
Yep.
Michael, the IBC has been adopted all throughout the world.
But not in California. They take it and then they make it so prescriptive that they create dishonesty in this industry.
Well, it's called the CBC/IBC. Yeah. And they release it a year after the International Building Code.
Yep.
And there's paragraphs that they insert. There's and if you open up a code book and you go down the left-hand margin of a page and you'll see C, B, C, B, C, B, C, then it'll go blank for a while. Then the C, B, C starts again. Those are the lines that have been inserted by California's interpretation of the code, and they make it more restrictive. We have a safety factor of 5 at the DSA for schools. The codes only call for 3. It's amazing what California does to cost us so much money and keep us out of homes because of this hand-wringing. And I think you said it a while ago, Kathy, they want to keep us safe. You know, they're the little mother hens that put their wings over us because we're so stupid we can't do it right.
Well, they call it the health, safety, and welfare of the general public. That's that they blanket it. Health, it's health, welfare, safety of the general public, and that's what they mask it as, and then they shove it through. But it gets harder and harder every year. You're a subcontractor, I'm a general, but it gets harder and harder every year to stay in business and pay the cost of doing business. It gets harder all the time. Whether you're honest or not, it's difficult. Thank you so much for your call.
Have people call in if they're interested in something like that, and maybe we can do a little jam session somewhere in a coffee shop and get something started.
Yeah, that would be good. 479-1080, give us a call. Thank you, Rick.
I want to tell the listeners about something. You know, the number one question that I get asked is, okay, I'm thinking of, you know, remodeling my family room, kitchen, dining room. I want the walls down. I want a big great room, or I want a roof on, or I want this, or I want that. And then they want to know if they invest the money in that project, are they going to get their money back out of it? Is it a smart thing to do? Every year in the month of November, there's a thing called the cost versus value report. And it's you can get it online. You go to just Google search cost versus value. This report comes out every year. It's produced by the National Association of Home Builders. It is 60 different cities throughout the United States, San Francisco, San Diego being two of the cities on the report. And they describe in detail a project that would be done on your home. Then they say you go down and you find the city where you live, and it says, okay, based on the description of the project in your city, this is the average cost, and your rate of return in a year would be X amount. And the report is extremely accurate. It covers anything from a master suite to kitchen remodeling, bathroom, roof replacement, window replacement. The cost versus value report is something that's free. If you go to their website, you can download the information. And like I said, it comes out every November. So that's a good indicator of what projects should cost.
Okay.
All right.
Now we go to Matt and Ben Lonesome.
Hey, Ben.
Regarding
is it Ben? What's his name?
It's Matt and Ben Lohman.
Oh, Matt and Ben Lohman.
It was.
Okay.
It's not Ben and Matt Lohman.
All my friends call Ben Lonesome as well, so I know it must be a common thing. But anyway, I'm a plumbing contractor, a subcontractor, and I work all over the Bay Area, and I wanted to reinforce what you said, that it's not just Santa Cruz County that has the permit issues with people trying to hide things from the inspectors. And the amazing thing is that even very wealthy people will hide entire projects from entire home remodels down to just building a new home and then hiding a bathroom in the basement, say, from the inspector.
Right.
And we see it all the time. The thing that we do in the trades, and I've seen it through the entire trades, the electricians, everybody, is we always follow the codes.
That's right.
Even if no one's going to inspect it. And then if you go right, you can't go wrong.
Well,
right?
That's
if you do it right, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, but you're required, Matt, you're required by law to do that. Permit process is the homeowner's responsibility and decision, not yours.
Well, what's amazing is these people are millionaires. They're building a $3 million home, and they are high. Well, I don't know what the permit would cost to add one bathroom to a 7-bathroom home, but they will balk at that last permit to get that last bathroom.
Right.
And I've never understood that, why they do that, why they don't just, if they have all the money to begin with, why not just do the thing the right from the beginning?
Why? How do you think they got rich? Hey, Matt,
right.
I have a question. What's the law up here for the toilet you have to install for low flow? Is it 1.3?
1.6.
Oh, 1.6.
1.6 gallons per flush. Unless it's an existing toilet, you can reinstall an existing toilet, but
see,
you
can't do that. In San Diego, you cannot reinstall it. You have to upgrade it to the new low flow, and I believe we're down to
now,
like
see,
1.5 or 1.3.
There are good low flow toilets, but you have to pay the price up
Toto.
Front. Toto's reasonable. Some of the new Kohlers are very good. The Tower Flush toilets,
Toto is only between $300 and $400, and they're excellent toilets, and they're gravity flush. They're not air assisted. You know, I always tell air assisted airport airplane sounds like a 747.
Oh yeah,
taken off
they're
in
loud.
The bathroom.
Especially in these little houses up here.
If we didn't have those kinds of toilets here at your favorite radio station, we would have a lot of sewage backed up.
Yeah, but there's 20 guys that work here.
By the way, do you want to be our official plumber, Matt and Ben Lonesome?
Absolutely.
Come and send me an email, mz@ksco.com.
Okay,
yeah,
and
give him your information, and then he can always call you up.
Yeah. Right. Hey, thank you very much. Great program today.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
It was a great program today, and I'm going to answer this phone here
And
put someone on the line whom we don't even know who it is. Who are you? Be honest. Yeah, you're on the air. Yeah, you.
Hello?
Yeah,
yes.
That's you. Who are you?
I just called. I didn't even get to talk to the screener.
Yeah, well, because you were the only person on, and I don't want to do a tap dance. So I just put the call on without screening it. What's wrong with that?
Well, my name's John. I live in the San Lorenzo Valley, and I bought a piece of property, about 15 acres, about 10 years ago. And when I found out how much the taxes were going to be, it was equivalent to paying rent for my own property, so I just haven't built on it. And I'd like to be able to use the property, but it's just Santa Cruz County. It's just so Machiavellian in there.
No, well, wait a second. What did you say your name was?
Thanks, John.
John. Yeah, John, when it comes to property taxes, if you're talking about permit fees, you said taxes, and I assume you meant property tax when you found out what the taxes were going to be.
Oh, yeah.
The property taxes are the same throughout California. It's set by Prop 13.
Yep.
You know, so are you sure you're talking about property taxes and not, you know, just the fees involved in building?
No, his property tax, once he builds, first of all, he's got to go through the plan check and architectural and all the other stuff. So he's going to be like that first caller, you know, and spend $20,000 or $25,000 for that. And then when he gets all done with that, when he puts the structure onto the property, he's going to end up with millions of gazillions of dollars in property taxes because now it has a structure.
Right.
Well, but like I said, that would happen in any county.
Why don't you just do like the old fishing shack days? Why don't you just get a really cool fifth wheel about 40 feet long and put it on and then put on accessory buildings like our other caller did and then just connect all the accessory buildings and you wouldn't get taxed on that.
Well, here's what I did. I got a really nice fifth wheel, and I built a small room with a wood burner stove in it and made a little hallway that bridges the fifth wheel to the room. And so now I've got all the comforts of home.
Yeah, John, did I not just nail it right on the head? I mean, I hit the nail on the head what you did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I knew that's what you were doing. Good for you. Go, John.
Yeah, good for you, John. Aren't you happy you called the Saturday special?
You're welcome.
Yeah, I love your show, and I love your radio station, and keep it up.
Thank
you. Okay, thank you so much. Here's another call here. That would be, who is this? Hello, you're on the air. Who is this? Hello? Yeah, you are on the air. Oh, wait a minute.
Hey.
Oh, there he is.
Michael.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Frank McHugh, American Dream Realty. How you doing, buddy?
Frank McHugh from American Dream Realty. He really knows real estate, don't you, Frank?
Well, I can tell you this, is that I've played the game with the county and the city over the years with my clients and myself. I actually was able to remodel an entire house with only one permit, and that was for the roof.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, what happened was it was an old farmhouse that was built in 1887, and they built the road too close to the house, but my setbacks were only about 10 feet. And so I wanted to put a front porch on this old Victorian home.
The front was 10 foot or the side yard and rear yard was 10 foot?
Well, the side yard and the rear, well, in the back I had plenty of yard space. It was
right.
Just that when the house was there for so long that when they did build the road.
It's too close to the front. So you're talking about front setback and you're trying to put the porch. Okay.
Well, there is an existing porch there, but they have a rule in the city is that if you are within the setback area, you cannot put a porch on that's greater than one-third of the width of the front of the house.
So what did you do?
Well, I waited till the weekend came along, and I went ahead and I painted everything white, primered it as if I was painting the house, and I painted all the materials and built the porch over the weekend, and then come Monday, it looked like the rest of the house. And I got to tell you, to this day, it is a beautiful Victorian home with a nice big porch on it that looks wonderful. And it did an incredible benefit to the neighborhood instead of having this funky little design thing.
Uh-huh.
So I took an 800-square-foot house and turned it into a 2,100-square-foot house by going into the basement area and going into the attic space.
Good.
Replumbed it, rewired it, new HVAC, new windows, new siding.
You live in it or it's for sale?
Oh, I did this years ago.
Oh.
And so I ended up renting it out for a number of years, and then I sold it.
Good for you.
I hope you made a ton of money, Frank.
Yeah, but I want to know, Frank, okay, so years later you sell it. So what did you put on your disclosure statements?
Yeah.
You disclose everything. I had photos of everything. It was all done with, to code.
So that's how you did it. Okay.
Yeah, you just photograph everything, you document everything, you disclose it all.
And then you're fine.
Ironically enough, you can go down to the county and you can report to the county, to the tax assessor. You can go to the tax assessor's office and report what you have and no tax rent. And no information will be transferred to the building or planning department.
Well, good for you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call.
Well, there's a joke down in San Diego that there's a couple of cities down in San Diego County.
Yeah.
And everybody says, just do the work, then go confess and pay the fine.
Oh.
It's easier than dealing with it. Okay,
there's no more callers. That was it.
Oh, that was great.
You were
though.
Gesturing to get rid of Frank, and then and now,
okay.
Now we don't.
I didn't
now
gesture
no
to
calls.
Get rid of Frank. I just said keep it moving. No, a lot of people will be driving along and they don't have the ability to call, So let me tell you how to reach me off the air. I really should tell people how to reach me off the air.
Oh, yeah, and someone wants callers want your email address, too, or else they're going to have a nervous breakdown.
Okay, I'm a certified master kitchen and bath designer, married to a general contractor, certified interior designer. I know everything about products, cabinets, countertops, flooring, appliances, plumbing fixtures, light fixtures, paint colors, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's Kathy KitchenLady at yahoo.com, and Kathy is with a K, K-A-T-H-Y. Kathy KitchenLady at yahoo.com. You can send me an email, and I'll be more than glad to answer your question for you. The cost versus value report that I talked about a little bit ago, that if you Google search it, it'll pop up, but it's actually produced by Remodeling Magazine every year. The Contractor State License Board, which gives you all kinds of information about building and permits, their website is www.cslb.ca.gov. So the CSLB is Contractor State License Board, but it's www.cslb.ca.gov, and all of their publications are free. You can download them in PDF form, and they'll mail them to you.
I want to give a plug before the end of the program. Gee, now the callers are pouring in. This is wild.
Well,
anyhow, a plug for the 2012 Monterey Beer Festival that's happening at the Monterey County Fairgrounds starting a half hour after this program ends. That will be 12:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. You'll be able to sample various styles of ales, lagers, and ciders from over 80 plus breweries with hundreds of beers to taste. All on hand will be the best beer from all around the world, including America, Belgium, Germany, England, France, Australia, Thailand, Italy, Asia, Ireland, Russia, Mexico, Jamaica, and even California, and specifically Santa Cruz, California, Bruvado Beverages, which is a local brand, first invention, first patented five pack where you can market spirits and beer in the same
package.
It's never been done before. In fact, it's been illegal up until now. But our guy Scott, you know, decided to do it, and they're going to be there with this wonderful thing. So you got to be there.
I just think that this show about remodeling and your plug about alcohol goes hand in glove, because if you've ever remodeled, it drives you to drink.
That's exactly right.
It's enough to make you want to drink. So I think that the idea that you put the alcohol plug in there with the remodeling topic is excellent.
And now, I don't drink much alcohol myself. Very, very, very little. But this beer is so good. You know,
really?
Bruvado.
My clients drink.
Yeah. But what's beer without good food? Local food vendors from throughout the area will have booths at the Monterey Beer Festival. So whether you want Thai noodles, Korean or Southern barbecue, California cuisine, Cajun foods, fried fish, or just a plain old-fashioned breakfast, there's a booth to feed your need. So that's today, and that's where I'm headed. You would go there, except you have an appointment with
Steve. I have a luncheon, and I have emails to answer.
Yeah. All right, okay. So let's go back to the phone lines here. Next would be our good friend Rory. Hi, Rory.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I'm late to the discussion, but I understand it's about remodeling and real estate issues.
And permits. Don't forget permits.
Okay. What? And you're from Southern Cal, Kathy?
San Diego.
What? I follow it because having bought a house here locally last year, I just was following a lot of the blogs. Is Southern Cal still just kind of slowly dropping in value over time?
Actually, I think it's leveled out. It dropped. I mean, it's like everything else. It dropped because, you know, the values were ballooned. However, in the past year, I'll give you an example. The home that I lived in before the economy tanked, my home, which is 2,800 square feet, it's a tract house, like everybody else is 10 foot to the neighbor kind of thing. Small backyard. I had 2,800 feet. I've got 4-bedroom, 3-bath, and a 3-car garage. It was worth about between 950 and a million. Then the economy tanked and it plummeted, literally plummeted in a matter of months down to about 600,000. Then the following year in 2009, it really tanked. Now it's gone back up about 100,000. So we're starting to see it creep out. But the one thing that I noticed in the last 18 months, things didn't go up dramatically, but they didn't go down at all. So I see this leveling off. And the other thing that I'm seeing is money has loosened up a little bit. It used to be you couldn't get a line of credit because you had no equity in your home. So how can they give you a line of credit? Well, now they're doing, you know, the 1.99%, you know, little home improvement loan, but you can't go over 40,000. So I see that money is loosening up a little bit down there.
Yeah, interesting. We sold a family house in the San Gabriel Valley, and gosh, we put it on the market in early 08. It took forever to sell it. But since we sold it, it was kind of in that price range that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
older home, you know, normal lot.
Right.
But it actually went back up quite a bit. I think it went up. It's up almost 200,000 from what we sold it. So
yeah, ours is starting to go back up again, you know. And the thing is it depends upon when you put it up for sale, what condition it's in also. People have sat in the house for 30 years and haven't done a thing to it.
That was my folks' place. And we were fair when we had one fish online that took it eventually. But anyway. Yeah, interesting. It's like that one caller said, this is real, the foreclosure thing. I mean, I know people that have been foreclosed out of a house and gone back to it because nobody was there, and they said, hey, it's not fair to the neighbors, so they're just living there, keeping the place up until something else comes up.
And actually, the lender is grateful for it because they're holding the value, you know. Yeah. So
I'll let you go. I'm not getting another
call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kathy, how can we thank you for being with us? And Mr. Logic, are you still there?
Well, I'm still here mostly listening and thinking, this reminds me very reminiscent of a book that was written in 1949 by the name of 1984, in which the government was telling everybody what to do.
And 1984 came and went, and it got worse than that, huh?
It's worse.
Yeah, but Big Brother's still there.
I'm sorry, but I just have a problem with a government who tells me what toilet I can sit on and flush. I just have a problem with that.
Now,
the government's going to tell you everything. Pretty soon they're going to tell you what friends you can have. I mean, already they're telling you you have to wear seatbelts and motorcycle helmets.
This is an absolute outrage. Yeah. So
Thank you, Kathy
Novoshubate. Thank you for helping us put out a wonderful program yet again. And we'd love to have you on again.
Next time I come on.
Yeah, that'll be. And you could be on via Skype or you could be on via phone or whatever. But anyhow, that's it. That is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. That's all.
Foul followed the naming of two U.S. attorneys to investigate possible leaks of classified information, cyber attacks on Iran, and drone strikes on suspected terrorists. Some Obama administration critics say that the leaks were timed to make the president look good. Political analyst Leonard Steinhorn explains the controversy this way.
This is T-minus 5 months until the election, and everybody is trying to show the best or undercut their opponent.
The FBI also investigating the leaks. CBS senior national security analyst Juan Zarate says it'll take time, though, to get to the bottom of the whole thing.
The prosecutors, investigators will be investigating not only who had access to this information, but who was talking to the press. They'll want to interview key officials, and they will want to review key documents to include emails. And so that could take not just weeks, but months.
Mr. Obama says that the White House is not behind the leaks, promising to prosecute those responsible if they can be identified. Syrian government shelling reportedly has killed at least 17 people in Deraa. The southern city is where the uprising against President Bashar al-Assad's regime first erupted in March of last year. Russia will not oppose the departure of Assad if that's the result of a dialogue between Syrians themselves and is not imposed from the outside, word from Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. CBS senior military analyst Richard Meyer says if the West gets involved militarily, things would get even more complicated.
It's easy to say, well, we need military intervention, but to do what? And if it's regime, it's removal of Assad from the regime, then what after that? What follows that? That's the, as we found out in Iraq and Afghanistan, as I know very well, it's the after combat phase that is the most difficult.
Myers was on CBS This Morning Saturday. The Pennsylvania judge overseeing Jerry Sandusky's child sexual abuse case is denying a request to have the charges dismissed on the eve of his trial. All 52 charges stand. The judge says the alleged victims will have to testify. Legal analyst Jean Casares.
We haven't heard that some of them are saying, I'm not going to testify now because my name's coming out. But they will have to state their names in court. But the judge is asking the media to defer from saying their names publicly. But the judge is saying we have public trials and these are adults. So it sounds like we don't have anybody under the age of 18.
Opening statements scheduled Monday. She moves up to number one in the world. Maria Sharapova wins the women's singles title at the French Open, defeating Sara Errani of Italy 6-3, 6-2.
You know, all the work that you put in 2 years, 3 years ago, it all matters, you know, and it all counts towards this day.
Sharapova on NBC Sports completing the career Grand Slam. China's inflation rate fell again last month, allowing the government there more leeway for stimulus to reverse the country's economic downturn. Consumer prices in China rose 3%, down from April. Cost of food back down to 6.4% from 7% in April. This is CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you some oil. Oh, no. Now, you can get a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for just $20.99. Plus, enter to win the $15,000 Castrol Ultimate Garage Sweepstakes. Thought your garage was pretty sweet? Well, wait until you see it totally pimped out. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes. Visit CastrolUltimateGarage.com for program rules and to enter.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings.
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings.
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're gonna get some savings. Savings.
Much better.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
It just could be a simple solution to a complex problem.
It would take a lot of bake sales to make up for the hundreds of millions of dollars in proposed cuts to NASA's exploration budget, but that's not the object anyway.
The idea is just for people to say,
to their politicians that we stand with the Planetary Science Group.
University of Central Florida grad student Tracy Becker says UCF and about 20 other schools are holding bake sales and car washes today. They hope to send a message to Congress and the Obama administration that cutting emissions could cripple the country's space efforts.
There's certainly the possibility of second bake sales or something even bigger in the future.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Two states will get $2.4 million federal dollars to combat distracted driving. Money will go to increased police enforcement and advertising in California and in Delaware, pilot programs to take a closer look at whether such measures can really reduce distracted driving, called by Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood an epidemic. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
It's 5 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update for this Saturday afternoon, June the 9th. Speeds on Highway 1 northbound through Santa Cruz County are very, very slow. Slowdown begins about Rio Del Mar and lasts through La Fonda Construction. Very slow speeds right now looking at Bay Porter and 41st Avenue. So do prepare for slow traffic. Southbound traffic getting out of Santa Cruz is faring much better. KSCO weather today, looking forward to sunny skies. Temperatures this afternoon will hit the middle 70s all over the central coast, some lower 80s inland. Westerly winds to about 5 miles per hour will increase to about northwest and between 15 and 20 miles per hour this afternoon. 68 outside of KSCO studios here in Santa Cruz. 6 minutes past the hour on KSCO, and it's time for Perspectives.